Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate. Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And co-host tonight, Madison Bennett.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
How's Maddie tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. And we are on an open show tonight, Maddie. That means our listeners are our guests tonight. They get to call in and ask any question they want. 410-922-6680. And the ones that call in the earliest, they're the ones that get the most time on their question. So now's a great time to call in. All lines are open, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and lead the conversation. And I'd say, and this is a topic that if you can help me with, it would be very beneficial. Maybe it's on Social Security. You know, I've got extensive knowledge and expertise in Social Security, Medicare. Maybe it's on 401ks and IRAs. Maybe it's on tax planning. That's a big topic of ours. Taxes, taxes, taxes. Maybe it's on Roth conversions or, you know, all these new laws, Maddie, that keep coming and going. You know, we were told over a year ago that in 2023, if you inherited an IRA from somebody who was older than, let's just call it 72, okay? If you inherited an IRA in 2020, 2021, or 2022 from somebody who was older than 72 years of age, you had to start taking a required minimum distribution and empty the account in the 10th year. It's in general. It's a little more complicated than that, but that's the general rule. And now, what was it, 3 weeks ago or so?
Mm-hmm.
They come back and they say, it's a little complicated. There's a lot of complaints about this. So we're going to delay that again until 2024. So now we've got the new thing is 2024 that, they want to do that. So you got callers online. We might as well go ahead and take some of those callers.
Okay? Yeah, we've got two callers. But first up, we'll go to Thomas. Hi, Thomas.
Hello.
Hey, Thomas.
I got injured on the job. Love your show, by the way.
Thank you.
Job and lost my job, so I have a very small pension, very few resources. And I want to know, where could I go and buy small pieces of stock? I mean, is there anywhere locally that I could just walk in and buy a stock, or do I have to do it online, or I have no clue at all?
You can do it online, of course, but if you don't like doing things online, you go to Charles Schwab and Company. They have an office right there on what's that road? Washington, right there across from the courthouse.
Right, like
Washington, Towson. Washington and Chesapeake, right? Right there on the corner. Washington and
Towson?
Chesapeake. What's that? In Towson, right.
Okay.
Where do you live?
But I can do it downtown Baltimore.
I think they have an office downtown too, but in Towson they have an office right there at Washington and Chesapeake, right across from the courthouse. But any Schwab or Fidelity office, you can go in and buy all the stock you want, and they even sell pieces of stocks nowadays. You know, like if you can't afford a whole share of Amazon, but you say, "Well, I have $500 to put into it." They'll sell you $500 worth of one share of Amazon.
Oh, my God. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, there's a lot of cool things you can do now, Thomas.
So,
all right?
Where would I go online if I tried?
I would go online with Schwab or Fidelity. Schwab would be the easiest, in my opinion.
I wouldn't have to join anything. I know nothing about the stuff.
No, you go online. If you don't know much about it, I would suggest you talk to Schwab on the phone,
okay.
and then get somebody to help you, and then once you get a little knowledge, then do it online yourself. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Good call. Good question, Thomas. What's up next there, Maddie?
All right, next up we've got Tom from Towson. Hi, Tom.
Oh, he's calling us now. Just kidding. I think that's a hang up.
Okay. Yes, it looks like he did hang up. All right, so next up we'll go to Adam. Hi, Adam.
Adam?
Yes, hello?
Yeah. How you doing?
Yeah, hey, I heard your thing about, thank you for taking my call. Be mindful of you. Thank you so much. But
yeah.
I got a question about Social Security.
Uh-huh.
Listen, I was receiving DAC benefits, disability adult child benefits, because of certain physical disabilities I had.
Okay.
I got into a same-sex marriage in Massachusetts back in 2013.
Okay.
However, as you know, that wasn't a federal thing. So when
right.
I went and reported the marriage, they said they didn't recognize the federal they didn't recognize it, but they would at least change my last name, whatever. Then, of course, as you know, the Supreme Court came out. They said what they said in 2016. Trump, as a good president, upheld the law and said, hey, you know, this is your spouse. This is the problem I got. The guy's a bum, okay? He's out somewhere in Massachusetts. He don't do nothing. I haven't seen him in 9 years. He's making money. He don't give me a dime. I apparently have lost my DAC benefits. I know you can't marry, but they were willing to kind of let that slide. But now he's making money. He's making a lot of money. And I've lost my benefits because he's making this money, but I can't reach him. I haven't talked to him in 9 years. I don't even know where he lives.
This is your spouse you're talking about, right?
Yeah, my spouse. I mean, we've been separated for 9 years. I'm in Maryland. I'm in Baltimore. He's all the way. I mean, one moment he's in Boston. The next minute he's in Lowell, Massachusetts. I don't
right.
know where to find him. So how do I fight this? How do I? Like,
you're still married, though, right?
Unfortunately, yes.
So you're not divorced, and how many total years have you been married?
Oh, bollocks. I mean, I would say 2013, 2014. I haven't spoken to him in like 9 years.
No, but I'm just saying, when was the marriage, certificate? What's it say? What date?
2013.
So what you need to do is wait until the end of this year. You're married 10 years. How old are you now?
I'm 33. I got married at 19.
Okay. You're going to have to hold on, and I'll see what you got to hold on with me. You got to hold on, and we'll come back to you, okay?
Okay.
All right. We got to take a pause with traffic. Let's go to traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, and I have a question for you. Is your financial advisor a doctor of personal financial advice? Do you get strategies to reduce taxation, Social Security, Medicare advice, sophisticated retirement planning, investment allocation strategies, estate planning, or help with any issue of money? It is time you do a financial physical with me and my team at the consulate and experience the difference. You hear the depth of knowledge we have about personal finance, so do a financial physical and you'll experience what we believe an advisor should do for you. They should be independent, experienced, credentialed, fee-only, comprehensive fiduciaries. They should be a doctor of personal finance and not salespeople selling you products. Set up an introductory meeting by calling 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or go online, financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com. It's time you experience the difference.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBL.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here on an open show, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680. Hopefully Tom in Towson is on the line again, but we're going to go back to Adam real quick. I don't have long that I'm going to be able to spend with Adam. So, Adam, are you there?
No. Just tell me what I got to do. You were saying.
Well, here's what I would suggest you do. You go back to Social Security Administration. You should be able to continue to get your disability benefits if you were getting them before. I don't know why you're not getting them.
They said he was making a ton of money, but he ain't gave me a dime in 9 years.
Well, what they're saying is you were on SSI, Supplemental Security Income.
I was on DAC, disability adult child SSDI benefit.
Okay, but the point is, it was income and asset based. So I would go back to Social Security, and I would say to them, you know, I'm separated, and I have no income, and you stopped my DAC, you know, and so forth, and that you're planning to, you're headed for a divorce, and they should restart your benefits. But that one I don't know for sure, but that's what I would do. All right.
All right.
So, you know, that's a good, you know, I hope that works out for him, because, you know, that's really difficult. You know, mm-hmm. I know what he's talking about. Yeah. Anyway, Tom in Towson. Let's see if Tom's still there.
Good,
Tom?
Right, Tom. Good evening. Good evening. And
yeah, we're here. We're here.
Okay. Charitable annuity trusts.
Yeah.
Get an upfront deduction.
Right.
We'll deduct. However, the monthly payments, are they right, tax-free?
Not necessarily. It depends on what you give them. You know, basically, you're going to pay income tax on the monthly payments, but it just depends on how you gave it to them, or what you gave them, I should say.
Can you, let's say, I have money in a traditional IRA.
So you're allowed to now move $50,000 from your traditional IRA to a charitable annuity trust. Okay, that's the most you can do, $50,000. If you do that, it's 100% taxable coming to you, whatever they give you.
If I do that, though, it's not considered. It's considered a required minimum distribution, but it's not subject. It's a direct transfer. It's not subject to income tax.
Correct. That is correct. If you do that, it will not be considered taxable income, okay? And you'll get an annuity check, and when those checks come to you, they'll be 100% taxable. Does that answer your question?
Yes. One more question regarding that.
Yep.
Suppose I took... Okay, I would still get $50,000. If I took $50,000 out, I would get a tax deduction.
No tax deduction. You would just, the IRA money coming out would not be taxable. That's your tax deduction.
Okay.
By not making the IRA taxable coming out is your tax deduction, because they're going to say it's tax free, and then you get your monthly check, and then that's taxable.
Right. Okay, juxtapose that with just taking withdrawal from my traditional IRA, paying income tax, but as opposed to mitigate that income tax, if I took that money and put it into a charitable annuity trust, I would get a tax deduction of the same amount. Isn't that a strategy that I could use?
Yeah, but you would have to take it out, pay taxes on it, right? And then
right,
you're going to get the deduction, but you might not get the full deduction, right? Because if your other itemized deductions are only $15,000, and then you put $50,000 in a charitable annuity trust, the first 10 of it technically is not deductible, because it just got you over the standard deduction. I mean, that's a difficult thing for non-tax people to grab a hold of, but...
No, grab a hold of it, but suppose it's like $200,000.
Well, you're still going to lose...
I do itemize.
Yep. And then that would possibly work, but if you have highly appreciated assets, that's the better strategy than taking it out of the IRA, paying taxes on it, and putting it in the trust.
Gotcha.
Do you have highly appreciated assets?
Yes.
So watch what happens now, Tom. I take out $200,000 of highly appreciated assets that I paid $50,000 for, but they're worth $200,000 now. I get a tax deduction for the full $200,000. I never pay taxes on that $150,000. And then when I start getting my monthly payments, I may have a portion of that I'm going to only report as capital gains tax and not totally as income tax. And some of it could be tax-free. So that's your better option.
Beautiful. Okay.
All right. Makes sense. Make sure you talk to a really qualified tax person that will walk you through that, okay? Because that's not an easy one. Make sure the charity you're dealing with, you know, also understands how to do it, okay?
Yes, they do. Thank you.
All right. All right, buddy. Good call. Good question. Very good question.
Yeah.
I wish that they would make something like that, that you could just do $200,000 from your IRA to charity and, you know, get a monthly income and pay taxes on that. It'd be really, you know, it'd be a great thing for both, right? But
right.
They only give us the right to do $50,000 now. And that was just new. Right. And every time we twist and turn, Maddie, we get a new law, right?
It's always, you know, something, yep.
You know, they told us that we had to start taking RMDs this year. Now, 2 weeks ago, they say, no, you're not going to take RMDs. And, you know, there are a lot of people that turned 72 this year, right?
Right.
And they thought that they had to take an RMD because they were 72, because that was the previous law. Well, now, guess what? They saying, no, 73 is now the law. So anybody who took their RMD between January and now can go back in and put that RMD back in before, what is it, September 30th, I think, right?
Yep, end of September.
September 30th and not pay taxes on it. And, you know, you'd be surprised at how many people out there took an RMD at age 72 thinking that they needed to take it. Let's see what Gene has to say, but we got a hard break at 6:29, so we may not be able to get the full thing in. Let's go.
All right. Hi, Gene.
All right. Real quick, Tom, the previous caller.
Yeah.
I understand all of that, but you kept mentioning, or he kept mentioning, the monthly check. And I'm not figuring, where is the monthly check coming from if you're giving a lump sum of people something to a charity?
Well, because it's a charitable annuity trust, okay? So the way a charitable annuity trust works is I give a charity $200,000.
Right.
The charity turns around and says to me, okay, we're going to give you a monthly income for the rest of your life. When you die, we get the rest of the money. So the benefit to the charity is not right away. The benefit of the charity is when you die, they get whatever's left. And it gets complicated because it has to do with present value valuations and all this kind of stuff.
So the monthly charity doesn't necessarily, monthly check doesn't necessarily have to do with what you're giving them?
Well, it's going to be based on what you gave them. So if I give them $200,000, I might get, you know, $1,500 a month. If I give them $50,000, I might get $500 a month, you know? So it's based on my life expectancy and a discount rate that the IRS pegs to do charitable annuity trusts. It's just kind of a complicated area. But I'm at that 6:29. If you want to hold on, I can talk to you more about it after we come back from this pause. But
okay,
right now, I
got
to go to the pause. Take it away. This is Drew Tignanelli, and I have a question for you. Is your financial advisor a doctor of personal financial advice? Do you get strategies to reduce taxation, Social Security, Medicare advice, sophisticated retirement planning, investment allocation strategies, estate planning, or help with any issue of money? It is time you do a financial physical with me and my team at the consulate and experience the difference. You hear the depth of knowledge we have about personal finance, so do a financial physical and you'll experience what we believe an advisor should do for you. They should be independent, experienced, credentialed, fee-only, comprehensive fiduciaries. They should be a doctor of personal finance and not salespeople selling you products. Set up an introductory meeting by calling 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or go online, financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com. It's time you experience the difference.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here with Madison Bennett, and we are doing an open show. So our listeners, and we had a lot of callers in that first segment of the show, but now we're in the second segment, and now we're struggling for calling.
I know. Usually it's
always
the opposite.
Funny, you know? So if you want to call in, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and direct the conversation. Is Gene still there? Did he hang on or did he?
Let's see. Gene, are you still there? Okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Gene.
What is it called again?
A charitable annuity trust.
Okay. Now, let's say, for instance, this year I have to take $59,000. Let's say I decide to take it all out of Vanguard.
Okay.
So do I have to tell Vanguard anything? What do I tell them?
If you want to do a charitable annuity trust?
Okay.
I mean, if you want to do that $50,000 to a, it's a one-time thing. $50,000 you're allowed to do to a charitable annuity trust.
All right. We'll round it off to $50,000 then.
Okay. Well, that's all you can do, period. So,
I would think that
you go to
any charity out there may not be equipped to handle the legalization of this and everything.
Most charities do not fool around with charitable annuity trusts, like the Associated Jewish. They are very functional in this arena. They do it a lot.
What about Red Cross?
I'll bet you they have one. I would bet they have one. Big charities will do these almost always. But little charities, you're rarely going to see this.
Question. You mentioned, an example, you're going to get, your arrangements are you're going to get $1,200 a month. What happens if they stop sending you the check?
Well, they won't stop sending you the check. They're bound to, you know, send the payment to you. So what they do is they have this pooled fund. So, like, let's say they have 1 million jeans out there. They gave them $50,000. And, as you know, unless they, for some reason, foolishly handle the money, they just keep making the payments. And there are some legal regulations they have to do, accounting reviews, audits, and so forth, to make sure that the money's still there and that it's fully able to make all the payments that they've guaranteed.
But the money, let's say I pull from Vanguard, actually goes directly to them.
Yeah, so let's say the Red Cross did a charitable annuity trust, okay? Right. So you go to Vanguard and you say, I've talked to the people at Red Cross and their charitable annuity trust. I want to do $50,000 payable to Red Cross for the charitable annuity trust. And they would give you a check made out to them. You turn it over to the charitable people and they start your monthly income.
Okay. All right.
So,
I've never heard a really good explanation of how this works until you explained it.
Yeah, you know, another charity that does this all the time is the Catholic, the Catholic something or other. So, you know, I should know that.
I was
born and raised Catholic, you know.
Well, Catholic Charities, right?
Catholic Charities, there you go. They do it all the time. They have one. You see it advertised every so often, you know. And so it's big charities. They're the ones that do it the most. All right?
Okay, thank you.
All right. You can also, you know, we have clients, Maddie, that have taken large, highly appreciated assets and have created their own charitable remainder trust where they literally put millions of dollars in and then they get an income back from that trust. Right. And then when they pass away, the trust goes, the balance of the trust goes to the charity. And, you know, client gets a great tax break. I did this once. I did my first one back in 2000. Very fascinating case. I write about it in the book, The Financial Physical, and reminds me to tell everyone, hopefully you get the book. But back in 2002, I had a lady who never worked in her entire life. She didn't even have Medicare because she never had a Medicare account, never got married. And I was concerned, and when I met her, she lived on like $12,000 of income. Well, that $12,000 of income that she got, Maddie, was GE dividends. Now, if you know anything about the year 2000 or 2002, that's when GE hit its pinnacle. Okay, it's peaked in 2000. Okay, and it went up like 30-fold in the 90s. Okay, and so her $12,000 of dividends represented $1.8 million worth of stock, but she was only living off of like $12,000.
Oh my gosh.
And I was concerned that if she ever had a medical situation, that money would be devoured in the medical thing because she had no medical insurance. And so what we did is we did pay for Medicare, which costs an arm and a leg to get. But then we took a large hunk of the money and put it into a charitable remainder trust that gave her a monthly income, because nobody could take that monthly income from her.
Right.
And we took that GE stock at almost the top and did a charitable remainder trust. And she got a check for like, I don't remember. It was like $4,000 or $5,000 a month for the rest of her life. And it paid for Charlestown, where she lived, and any other bills she had, along with another few hundred thousand dollars that we kept, you know, that provided other support to her.
That's great.
And she got a giant tax deduction for it too, you know, and she paid capital gains tax on the checks that came, and she got the basis of the GE stock tax free. It was just
win-win,
a fascinating win-win for her and for the charity. And, you know, it's the law. You got to work with the law, you know?
Right.
Anyway, we're here on an open show. Anybody online?
No, the lines are open.
Yeah, we're boring tonight, obviously. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in. And again, we want to just remind everybody, just a couple weeks ago, the IRS comes out and says, oh, by the way, if you thought you had to take an inherited IRA distribution, if you inherited your IRA in 2020, 2021, or 2022, you don't have to now. You have to wait until 2024. Then we're going to force you to do it until they tell us again that maybe they don't want us to do it again. You know, and if somebody told you, here's another one. If somebody told you that you had to take a required minimum distribution this year because you're 72, or maybe you told yourself, maybe you thought that was still the law. They changed the law to 73 now. The required minimum age starting in 2023 is 73. So people who turned 72 in 2023 have another free year to wait to take their RMDs. But if somebody told you you had to, you can actually go and put it back into an IRA before September 30th. The IRS has ruled that's called a rollover. But you have to do it before September 30th, and you got to be able to prove that it came out because you were designated, or you thought that you had to take an RMD and you were 72 years of age and you didn't. Anyway, any other things going on with you, Maddie, that you wanted to talk about?
We actually have a caller on the line that we
You got saved by the bell is what you're trying to say.
Thank you, Jeff. Hi, Jeff. Welcome.
Hi there. I got a tax question. This is in regards to like a donor directed fund, where hopefully I got the name properly.
Donor advised fund.
Thank you very much. I almost got it.
You were close. It was very good.
Okay. So in any case, I was once hauled into the IRS because I made a large donation to that and eventually got it all straightened out. I want to avoid that meeting in further future. Now, is there a way that I can, I have the receipts and all that kind of stuff for that donation. Is there a way to put that as part of my tax return? My tax software only allows me to put a documentation in for certain things, and this is not one of them. And I was wondering, is there a way to, avoid a potential audit by giving them the receipt up front?
No, you don't have to. And when you do a donor advice fund, every donor advice fund is very aggressive at making sure that you have that receipt in hand well before you file that tax return. But as far as I know, any tax preparer can attach documentation to the return if they want to. There's nothing wrong with that.
I do a software package. I don't know if you want a specific name of the package, but without giving a,
it's probably TurboTax.
Tax Act.
Same difference. That's the H&R Block one. So usually there's a thing on there that says attach a PDF, and you should be able to attach a PDF to your tax return when you file it. And so if you want to add the receipt to the return, that nothing wrong with that. You know, you can do it.
Yeah, the software only enables you to do that.
You still there?
Yeah,
we lost him. Well, we're out of time anyway. We got to go to our last pause there, Manny.
Right, and we'll
hold you,
Jeff. So
we're going to go to traffic. We're going to be right back. Money, riches, and wealth.
One moment, Jeff.
This is Drew Tignanelli, and I have a question for you. Is your financial advisor a doctor of personal financial advice? Do you get strategies to reduce taxation, Social Security, Medicare advice, sophisticated retirement planning, investment allocation strategies, estate planning, or help with any issue of money? It is time you do a financial physical with me and my team at the consulate and experience the difference. You hear the depth of knowledge we have about personal finance, so do a financial physical and you'll experience what we believe an advisor should do for you. They should be independent, experienced, credentialed, fee-only, comprehensive fiduciaries. They should be a doctor of personal finance and not salespeople selling you products. Set up an introductory meeting by calling 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or go online, financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com. It's time you experience the difference.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
My Comrex just died, so I got to do it via cell phone from here. Sorry, we missed. Did I get Jeff's answer fully in, or is he still there or what?
No, I think we had to drop him off, unfortunately, to let your call come in.
Okay, so we're on an open show, Maddie, 410-922-6680, if anybody wants to call in and ask a question. And we don't have anybody online, right?
Nope, nobody online. So it's an open.
Open.
Lines
show.
Are open.
Yeah. So we were talking with him. Oh, he makes a big donation to a donor advised fund. He's concerned that he got audited once and he wants to get them their receipt. And I said, just attach it to as a PDF to the tax return.
Right.
You know? I mean, that way he can prove if they ever come back and ask him, he say, you know, look here, it was uploaded with the return. How much more proof do you need? You know, but that is something. That's a fascinating concept that the IRS has a Supreme Court ruling that says the IRS can negate a charitable contribution that is perfectly legitimate if they can prove that the taxpayer did not have the receipt at the time they filed the tax return. So think about it. You give your church $100,000, and you think, wow, this is really great, and I'm going to get a $100,000 tax deduction. Well, your church is a small church, and they just don't give out receipts as they ought to, you know, on time. The IRS calls you up and says, hey, we want to see all your charitable receipts. And you send them what you have, and you think, oh, well, I'm sorry. I noticed that I didn't have one from my church right now. And they say, okay, well, we're negating that deduction. He says, well, what do you mean you're negating it? That my church will give me a receipt and prove that I gave it to them. And they say, yeah, but you didn't have it when you filed your tax return, so therefore we're going to negate that deduction.
Right.
That's a crime. You
right.
know? But that's what they're doing. Anyway, let's go to our callers.
Yeah, so we've got Jeff back on the line, so we'll bring Jeff in. Hi, Jeff. Sorry to cut you off earlier.
Yeah. That's okay. I just want to follow up. Yeah, my software won't allow me to optionally, just the stuff that requires documentation, it'll allow me to do it, and just that. I mean, is there a way to mail it in?
Yeah, you would just have to fill out the form to explain why you're mailing it in. But, yeah, I tell you, I tremble at the concept of sending paper to the IRS. They are so dysfunctional that I just don't want any paper going to them unless I have no choice. So be careful of sending them paper.
What form would that be? And also, am I poking a beehive or a wasp nest?
You could be. You know, I can't answer that because let's put it this way. so many of the paper returns that were sent in the last two or three years have been disasters. But, you know, probably 50% of them went through perfectly fine. 50% of them, I'd say, didn't. So I hear they have a mountain of paper that they're still mulling through, trying to get, dealt with. But I wouldn't worry about it. I would just have your receipts. I give a lot of money away every year. And when I do, I have every one of my receipts firmly, ready and able to give to the IRS anytime they want it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
and I've been audited twice.
Oh, well. Wow. Donors' fund, I find, is very nice because they basically have one large receipt instead of having
one large receipt. That is the beauty of it. Also, you can use them anonymously because there's nothing more irritating than giving a charity money and then they keep asking you for more money. So you can give it to them anonymously also, and you don't have to worry because you already got your receipt. Anyway, I got to run, Jeff. I got to get the other callers here. Thank you.
All right. Next up, we have Rob. Hi, Rob.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up, Rob?
Hey, I have a quick question. I'm about 10 years out from retirement, and I live in a house that has like $600,000 worth of equity. So if I was to stay in that house, how could I get that equity?
Well, if you stay in the house, the only way you're going to get the equity out of the house is either borrow it out and pay a mortgage or do a reverse mortgage and not pay the mortgage, but pay significant amount of that equity will be devoured over 15 or 20 years.
Right. So,
those are your only two choices.
I don't like those choices. I guess I have to sell.
Well, you could downsize, or the other thing you could do is Airbnb your house and get some income out of it, but there's no other way that I know of that you can get that equity out, either borrow it and pay a mortgage or do a reverse mortgage and, pay a lot of costs over the course of the lifetime of that reverse mortgage.
Right. So I have another piece of property, too, so I'll probably just sell the one, build another house there, and then sell that one and get it all out.
Yeah, I think that's a brilliant idea. All right.
Okay, I was just hoping you might have something else I'd never heard of, but I appreciate it.
No, I don't, unfortunately. Who else? Anybody else there, Maddie?
Nope, that was the last one.
The last one. So, anyway, we probably don't have any time to do any more callers, so now you're stuck.
Putting me on the spot.
That's right. You had some good topics. I just wrote an article that will come out in the next few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, I call it candies, alcohol, and deferred taxation. They all taste good and feel good, at the beginning, but, anything more than moderation can be disastrous to you. And people love to defer taxation. I can't tell you how many frustrating situations I see, Maddie, where people are deferring taxation and it makes no sense whatsoever. I'll give you a great example of this. The older people, they have relatively low income, virtually paying no taxes, and they're buying annuities and they're deferring taxation, for whatever. And you know what happens? It becomes a ticking time bomb, or I call it a ticking tax bomb, in the hands of their children. Because when their children inherit it, all that deferred taxation blows up in their hands, where mom and dad could have possibly paid 10, 12, maybe 22% tax rate on it. And next thing you know, the children inherit and they're paying 35, 40% tax
right.
on it. So that's just one of many. How many times do you meet people who, they've already got $700,000, $800,000, $1 million deferred income, and they're still using the traditional 401k because they want that extra tax savings. And it's like, no. Learn about the Roth. Start
right.
accumulating Roth buckets of money,
Mm-hmm.
So, people have to learn that just because something feels good today doesn't necessarily make it good for the future. And right. the way the tax laws are going and the way our country is going, everybody needs a Roth strategy. And I don't agree with these guys that come around. You see them where they say, you convert everything. Just pay the max, whatever tax it is. Just pay it. That's ridiculous. That's a ridiculous concept. It might work. It might work, but I'm not going to take the risk that you know, you're going to pay max rates on it because you want to get it into Roth. Right. I want to try to strategically move it in there.
Right. It's that immediate satisfaction again, but you got to just wait and slowly do it over time.
The article talks about, you know, that the traditional is the bird in the hand and the Roth is the two in the bush. But this time, the bird in the hand might be a vulture, and the two in the bush could be a juicy turkey gobbler, you know?
Right.
And I think that's going to be more true for the Roth in the future.
Yep.
Anyway, Maddie, we're out of time. Always goes quickly when you're on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
All right. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless. Things are gonna be much